Sam Gum was once just a dream. He says he loves you. He says it with meat. He comes to buy a meat wreath, and he makes a cider out of beef. He's thinking about his meat cape. He says he's waiting for that garbage ape. The meat fairy's coming along. So Heathcliff, won't you play your meat song?
Hello, welcome to MeatCast. My name's Nick, and with me as always is Kyle. Kyle, how's it going?
It's going great, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, March meatness is in full swing.
Yeah, it sure is. So as we expected, X.com is aflame with people offering their opinions. The Discord is blowing up. People can't stop talking about March meatness.
That's on the tip of everyone's tongue.
I'm excited to hear about this.
We'll let you know.
And that voice you hear is an emotional comedy artist. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, an emotional comedy artist who has recorded several songs about Heathcliff. One of our listeners told us about him. And he goes by the name Hot Dad, but he's also named Eric. So how's it going, Eric?
Good. How are you? How are both of you doing?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
So have you heard that our intro song? It was by Louis Zong. It's another artist that makes
another emotional comedy artist.
Yeah, I guess so.
don't have the market cornered anymore, dude.
I know. No, I'm going in blindly.
Yeah, let's play a clip of one of your songs here. Children Love the Meat Tank. Let's hear a little bit of Children Love the Meat Tank by Hot Dad here on the MeatCast. That's Hot Dad with Children of the Meat Tank here on the MeatCast. And you should check, if everybody's listening, hopefully somebody's listening, but check that out on YouTube because the video is great too. It's Eric in front of a green screen doing all kinds of fun dances.
Just having a great time.
Doing my best.
How did you stumble on these? Because you have a couple other songs that are also based on Heathcliff comic strips. How did you stumble on those Heathcliff comic strips?
I think most people know, or at least, I don't, you have the Orange Cat comics that exist, and I knew about Heathcliff. I mean, Heathcliff was, an actual show for a while, was it not?
It was.
Yeah, the cartoon, yeah.
Yeah, because I did see it. I don't remember what network that was on anymore, but I do remember watching Heathcliff as a kid, but I was also into Garfield, and I wouldn't say that I'm like a big fan of like syndicated comics at this point, but I had a friend who sent me just Children Love the Meat Tank, just that comic. And I don't know, I started digging through some of them and there was just something really special about a comic strip that just seemed to not, it didn't seem to care that anybody got the jokes or understood what was going on even. Like it just obviously was very self-referential and it just was doing what it wanted to do. And so that was more or less it. I was just smitten by that image.
Yeah, you get
it. And those words.
You get it.
Yeah.
Was that the first? Because you also have, sorry, I didn't pull it up here. But you also have Let's Talk About Ham.
Yeah.
And The Garbage Ape. Which one came first? Was it?
It was Children Love the Meat Tank. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a funny story about that if you.
Oh, we'd love to hear it.
I'd love to hear it.
I don't know if I should mention this streamer's name because I don't know him that well. Basically, I started getting these comments on the video saying this is this streamer's favorite song, and I didn't know what it meant. But
PewDiePie?
No, it's like slightly smaller. But anyway,
Aiden Ross.
Yeah. You know me. I'm a Twitch streamer as well.
Okay.
So anyway, this was just recently. Somebody started like spamming. I'm still calling it Twitter. Started spamming me on Twitter, saying like, "Will you make a new song for this guy? Because you made his favorite song already." And I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who this guy is." I remember seeing comments about it, but he's like, I actually can't tell. I can't tell what is real and what is not in this. But people have just like spammed him with this with this video. Like he opens up chat to allow them to post whatever they want or to pay bits or whatever to you know trigger YouTube clips. And all these people just have spammed him with "Children love the meat tank," and he just like there are these clips of him getting enraged for like 15 minutes straight and screaming about me. And I think he thinks it's like a pedophile thing. He's like really mad about it. And I still don't know if this is an act or not, because he's kind of a vague character, but he's just like, this is gross. I don't know why they're talking about kids and meat. And it's like, I don't even understand how you could have like taken it that way. Like it's just literally a meat tank. Like I don't understand how you could derive something like sinister out of it. But I don't know. Yeah, this was just literally within the past week or two that I was talking about this and people have been flooding me. But I guess I'm very hated in a particular community because of Children Love the Meat Tank.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Did you make any money off of it at least? Did you get a bunch of extra streams?
You're saying on through his stream?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I mean, they're just like paying him to play YouTube videos ultimately.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You get a fraction of a cent every time that YouTube video is played, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think they know the people spamming it, I think, get it, but I don't know if he gets it. I really don't know what the situation is. But yeah, it's very bizarre. I don't know. This is just recently discovered.
Well, I hope eventually that clears up and you and the streamer
I need to be vindicated.
Form a bond.
I don't know. I just don't understand how you could see the meat tank and think that it was actually like this heinous thing. I don't know.
Did he see? So he saw the video? He saw the video?
Yeah.
I mean,
this is like one of those things where like they say, you know, he's like, don't play that again. And then somebody plays it again instantly. And then he gets angrier. You know what I mean? Like that kind of, some of it I think is a put on, but.
Yeah.
We'll connect with the streamer. We'll broker a peace deal. we can handle this.
Yeah.
Let's put the squash this beef.
It does seem like people like watching people get angry, right? Is that something new?
I don't think that's new. I think the interactivity is maybe a new element to it, that you can pay money to antagonize someone who's allowing it to happen. I mean, it's just like a new version of like a dunk tank, right? Like it's the same kind of thing. Like, but instead of paying for a softball to throw at some milk bottles or a target or whatever, like you're paying to make some guy mad.
Who's getting
performatively
angry
being angrier, you know?
Yeah. Who was getting angry and yelling on TV like in the 90s? There must have been somebody, right? Was it like Rush Limbaugh kind of like that?
Well, there was the famous Bill O'Reilly clip.
Right, but that wasn't on TV.
No, that was specifically not on TV.
I mean, like...
that's one of my favorites.
It wasn't the 90s, but what was his name? Morton Downey Jr.?
Morton Downey Jr., I was about to say that, yeah.
Just loved getting real mad on TV and smoking. Man, we got to go back.
We need more angry people on TV.
Yeah, that's what we need.
More Morton, less PewDiePie. That's what
many are saying this.
Is PewDiePie still relevant? Do people still
I don't think so, but maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I think when you get to that size, it doesn't matter anymore. Like you will always have your community relevance. Like you just have too many people that can see every video to the point that you can never like technically lose relevance. But you can also
for life, PewDiePie.
Yeah, you can never you can't ascend from where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't know where he ascends from. I mean, he has like 60 million subscribers. But yeah, I don't think
I hear less about him these days and more about this Mr. Beast fella is who I hear a lot about.
But is he a streamer or is he? I know
he's like a YouTuber. I don't think he's a streamer. Yeah. But you know, come on, I don't know. I'm 37. It's all the same to me.
So you don't do you actually not know who he is, Nick?
Mr. Beast?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's a YouTube. I know he buys stuff for people.
Well, he's made a lot of these tweets that I think are really funny to me because he'll like present these altruistic ideas, and people react as if he's done them, which is really incredible to me. He'll just say like, someday I wish I could give away all my money, and people will reply and retweet it as if he did give away his money, and he'll get like 200,000 likes on it. And it's just, yeah, it's just literally him saying like, oh, I want to do good things. And then people will, I don't know. That's a whole bizarre industry of like the spectacle of doing altruistic things.
Yeah. And like, the attention economy of scale, the scale of the attention economy is interesting. It just is like, the bigger he is, the less hard he has to work to just get 200,000 likes or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't get angry though, right?
No,
he's famously is always doing a shit-eating grin in his video thumbnails.
Maybe that's how he gets bigger. Maybe
yeah,
that's how he ascends.
He pivots.
That's the next level. This angry Mr. Beast.
Right. But he still does the like giving away money and stuff. He's just really yeah, mad.
He's just furious about it.
I'd be mad too if I had to give away all my money.
But he wants to.
He doesn't have to.
He should just have a whole paradigm shift where he's like, I don't want to give my money away anymore. But he has to keep doing it, you know?
Yeah.
All right, let's get into this week in Heathcliff.
This week on Heathcliff.
This is Heathcliff from March 8th, 2024. And Heathcliff is sitting on top of an overturned trash can holding onto a fish skeleton, staring at, it looks like a house, but I guess it's the vet's office. Because there's a sign in front of it that says vet. And a vet.
And it says it on the window.
Yes,
just it says it on the window too. Just in case. It's not clear.
And a man and a woman are standing in the window staring at Heathcliff. And the woman is saying, not exactly an apple a day.
Kind of a more classic kind of joke structure on this one. You know, this is one that has a slightly more traditional joke structure, I think.
I would argue that, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
please argue it.
But why are do cats eat apples anymore?
That's a great question. Anymore?
I assume there was an error.
Cats right? These days, they're only interested in fish skeletons and.
But he's not actually a patient, right? I mean, they're just looking question. At a cat.
We don't really know for sure. I think we can presume maybe he's just come from an appointment, or is about to have an appointment and is like toasting. He looks like he's toasting them with the fish skeleton.
Or taunting them, yeah. Or,
yeah, perhaps taunting them.
What is the deal though with like cats and the fish? Like my cat doesn't usually eat like bones. I mean, he would want like the meat of the cat or the meat of the fish.
Yeah, my dog is more into bones than my right. cat. I don't have a cat.
I presume. Well, yeah. But.
Famously, if I were to just like. Why. Real quick, ask you like, what animal loves bones? Like, you would say dog right away.
Yes,
yes.
You know?
But if I said, what animal loves fish bones?
You would cat. Say, you would say cat.
Cat. But
so
I don't know. You would say my always my cousin that way. Who's a ska fan. He loves fish bones too.
Oh yeah,
loves fish bones.
Oh, that's a, really
that's a classic reference.
Yeah.
I mean, is he going to like suck the marrow out of it or something? I don't know.
I think it's like a thing where like, I don't know. I observe my cat eating, you know, sometimes he got a little mouth, he got a little tongue, you know, when I presumably if I were to let him or to finish a big old whole fish and just leave it out for him, he's getting in there, he's getting in the nooks and crannies, getting the little parts that my big human face and hands couldn't get to. I think perhaps that might be the reason.
Do cats like fish more than, say, chicken or beef?
I think that's the stereotype. I don't know.
For sure. Each individual cat. Each individual cat has their own
palate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My cat like, really my cat, likes kale.
Yeah. Your cat likes
Your cat
kale?
Likes kale?
Yeah. Like, anytime I have kale, I'm like preparing kale, which is not a lot. But he never leaps up on the kitchen counter. He never like tries to get in my business, but he'll get up there when there's kale in the mix. He's like, what is this? I'm going nuts. I got to have some of this stuff.
You're like a hippie vegan cat.
I mean, you wouldn't think it from his temperament, but definitely.
Oh, is he one of these streamers?
Yeah.
One of these angry
streamers. Let anybody stream these days.
They let my damn cat stream. Eric, you were going to say
something
about...
That would be huge.
Eric, you were going to say something about what your cat likes?
Oh, well, my cat mostly likes his dry food. He also has a small mouth, and he drops a lot of kibbles while he eats them. But we have a bunch of wet food that we've tried to give him, and he doesn't... You know, we thought we had figured it out, and then he didn't. He pivoted away from each one. So I can't even say what one of the meats he likes the most, because every time we think we've got it down... He turns on that one. And he doesn't, he never finishes the wet food. You'd think that he would be more into it, but he really prefers the kibble.
Same. I've tried wet food with my cat. He's not so much into it, but really? my wet food, that I'm eating, he's interested in that.
What's your wet food? Is it oatmeal?
I mean, just like if I have like, a sandwich, you know, he's going up, he's sniffing.
That's a classic wet food.
He's sniffing the edges of that sandwich. He's trying to get that turkey meat, that ham.
Is it wet ham?
I mean, it's got some moisture to it, you know. It ain't, I wouldn't call it dry food. It ain't cereal, you know.
You're right.
Cereal, I would consider wet food.
What is cat's wet food if not, you know, meat that's just been blended up? You know,
that's what their dry food is too, though. Is anyway,
I'm under your attack.
Your cat likes ham. That's interesting, because that is something that Heathcliff likes.
I don't think you could. The point of the wet food is that all the moisture's in it. But I don't. Could you just like grind up ham to get like the moisture to come to the surface? I guess you could. I guess it would probably
squeeze
become,
it maybe
like, gelatinous.
You guys aren't buying ham from where I'm buying ham from. You guys are buying some dry ass ham. You need to go to my guy and get yourself some real wet ham.
I mean, we can all go to the same place here.
Yeah, we all live in the same city.
Yeah.
So do you order like when you go to like the deli? Do you say you want the moist?
I walk into HEB and I'm screaming wet ham, wet ham.
It's
and
like
then
the brisket.
They point ordering no brisket. Matter no matter which. Yeah. Do you want wet ham or dry
moist
ham?
Brisket.
Moist, moist.
Do you want fatty brisket or lean brisket? Do you want wet ham or dry ham? That's how it's ordered.
All right.
Can't believe you guys don't know that.
Let's move on to March 9th.
I'm just too busy, sorry.
So Heathcliff is sitting atop a big yak with a helmet that says yak, and Heathcliff looks kind of peaceful maybe, like or content. And there are a couple of birds, and there's the yak is on the sidewalk in the suburban neighborhood, and there are a couple of birds on the tree, and one of the birds is saying, "We need to get our yak on."
Oh, I love this.
I mean,
have you seen the yak before, Carl or Eric?
Carl.
Oh, because I was thinking of hot Carl.
No, I've not seen the yak. I mean, I have an idea of what a yak looks like, but I've not seen this one.
I love this yak.
But I like it.
I love this expression on his face. He's got a real... It's slightly more than like a Mona Lisa smile, but it's very close, you know?
Anthropomorphic smile.
And it's we've talked before about how funny it is that like sometimes Peter will draw like a hyper-realistic animal rather than like a stylized animal. Like he's trying to like mostly draw an actual yak here, you know? He doesn't have like big cartoon eyes.
But it looks human.
It does have, it has like, you know, sometimes you see like a dog that has like a human expression.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It looks like that.
It's even got like human hair. Right. Like, it's got nice like a haircut.
Dude. Nice do.
It does. What do you
I
think
mean, I like.
Go ahead. No, please.
Oh,
go
I
ahead.
Was going to say, I like this. I mean, I tried. I've never like actually published it, but I tried to make a comic a long, long time ago. It was like 12 or 14 years ago now at this point. But I was trying to build up dexterity in my left hand I don't know why I had this idea, but I had this idea to use my mouse left-handed. And as part of the process of getting used to using the mouse, I was like, I'm not like a very visual artist at all. But I decided to like start drawing this comic. It was like a, what was it? It was a spider and a hatchet that were like, you know, talking to each other. And I don't know, this is like the classic comedy language of a cartoon that's just like, it's like ostensibly a joke, but if you break down like what it is, it's not actually a joke, but right. I guess it's kind of funny as a result of that. And that's something that I appreciate these because it, I don't know, there isn't really a concept here, but it does work when you look at it.
Yeah. But why, I mean, why is there a yak in the middle of this suburban neighborhood? Yeah. Why is Heathcliff riding the yak?
What I love
why does he have a helmet?
What I love about that explanation is that, yes, it is correct. When you look at it from a wide angle view or a macro view, you're like, oh, yeah, this is funny. But when you do exactly what we do on this podcast and talk about it and try to analyze every element of it, it is no longer funny. So right. You're welcome.
Yeah.
But I think, what do you think the bird means by get our yak on? What do we think that particular phrase is trying to communicate?
Well, they have some kind of envy.
Yeah, they have yak envy. I think they just want to ride a yak. Like
they want to ride the yak is what it is. Yeah. Okay, all right.
Birds don't even have to try. Birds don't even have to try to ride large mammals. You know what I mean? They can just go on there.
Yeah, I mean, birds can catch a ride. Fly. I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure why they're looking at this yak thinking like, oh, that's the mode of transportation I really want to be participating in. Dog, you can fly. Go right. Fly. Although I guess to a bird, flying... It's just every day.
It's lost its novelty. It's also probably, I mean, got to be exhausting, right? Flapping your wings.
Like that's that. True. That's yeah. True. Burn a lot of cows.
I mean, I was thinking about that the other day. Just the fact that like birds, their brains probably don't permit them to appreciate flying like our brains would.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, yeah. But you know, what would it be like if you could fly and you could also appreciate flying that much? And like, what would that do to you? I guess maybe you'd start looking at a yak. I don't know.
Maybe. I wonder what that's like.
I envy the yak.
Yeah.
That's what they think. All right, let's move on to March 11th. So Heathcliff
Did you just skip
Oh, my God.
Oh, I skipped over the Sunday.
Oh, okay.
This isn't about Moist. It's not. He's not wearing it right.
So Heathcliff is flying a slice of ham as a kite. It's got like he's got a kite string with ribbons on it outside of the meat store. And the butcher at the meat store is talking to a woman, and he's saying, he lights it sliced extra thin.
Nick,
so
I think it's time we drop into Kyle's punch-up corner.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's see.
I got a little edit I want to make here.
Punch it up. Kyle's corner. Punch it up.
Ham kite.
The caption?
It should kite? Just say it should just say ham kite. That's my good. That's my pitch.
It's very congruent.
Just say, imagine if it was just the guy working at the meat store, the woman looking up the kite, he could flying the kite, and the words just said ham kite. It's a classic Heathcliff caption. I think it would work better here.
Could be.
You think this explains the joke too much?
I think it's too much of a joke.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like pithy enough. It doesn't need to be a joke. You could just say say the word ham, the words ham kite, and right. That. I mean, that'd make me laugh.
That's true. It's true.
Would you have a space in it or a hyphen or?
Oh, what, it's a space. Where you want to go? Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's space. A ham space kite period.
It could have been, what about I love a good ham kite?
I still think a little too ostentatious for me.
What about a nice wind today?
that actually is, that's the alternative that I will accept, is that there's no mention of, it's either, you either just say ham kite or you, it just says like beautiful day. Yeah. Like nice that. Day for flying, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, do I don't know. Yeah.
What do I think?
Yeah. What do you vote for? Do you like the current caption as is, or would you take one of Kyle's punch-ups?
Or do you have your own punch-up?
I mean, yeah. I think... Well, I do. I would agree that I think it does... It's not bad. I'm not going to say it's bad. No,
of course. The spirit definitely of Kyle's punch-up corner is never that the original is bad. You know.
But, I mean, I can... Hamkite, I can see it in my brain. You know what I mean? Like I feel like I've seen that Heathcliff strip.
Yeah, it feels like it's like a beautiful melody. It feels like it already exists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I feel like I've seen them that are that pithy, and I've seen other ones that are a little more wordy. You know what I mean?
We have a beautiful.
And I feel like it just depends on how he's feeling.
We have a beautiful range of captions in the Heathcliff world, and I think. I love all the different styles. What I am just suggesting here is that for this particular one, I think Hamkite.
I think the customer doesn't understand how this could happen. So this ends up being the confusion of the customer that's driving the whole
experience. You're saying that he's hamsplaining this to her.
Yes, he is.
So she before this, she asked him, well, how could he fly a kite made out of such thick ham?
Right.
And it's like, no. He likes to slice extra thin.
Right. That's where we are now. That's the exact moment we captured.
All right, well, let's move on to Eric, I forgot to say we like to use the week's Heathcliff comics to get to know our guest. That's sort of the goal of the show.
You forgot to say it and do it.
Yes. But here we have Heathcliff from March 12th. So this is a crazy one.
You want to know about my hypnosis?
Yeah.
Oh, well first let me just describe this real quick. Heathcliff is staring deep into the eyes of somebody sitting in the Nutmeg family living room in a chair. And he's like shooting laser beams out of his eyes. And this other guy's eyes are all in spirals. And he looks dazed and out of it. And Grandma Nutmeg is sticking her head in the door, and she's saying, "Heathcliff, no hypnosis." Grandpa, so this, I think this is the first hypnosis. Yeah, Grandpa
looks at we've all been there. Two drinks.
We've all been there.
Have you? Do you have a hypnosis history, Eric?
No, I don't. Sadly,
okay.
I haven't done a lot of hypnosis.
Do you believe in the power of hypnosis? Do you think that's real? Or do you think all these people are just lying?
I think that people can be... what's the word I want to use? I mean, I think that people can be influenced heavily.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, especially in certain circumstances, I think that people can easily accept things that are not actually happening.
What do we think
Heathcliff's... Power of persuasion.
What do we think Heathcliff's ultimate goal here is with this hypnosis?
I think with this guy, he's just toying with him. He's just like, he maybe read a book about hypnosis earlier that day, and he's like, I wonder if I could do it.
He's just trying it out.
He wants to get him to go. I think he's got bigger plans for hypnosis.
He wants to get him to go get the cut, steal the cups of water.
The two cups of water that Grandpa Nutmeg is holding on a tray.
Imagine the guy getting up from the chair, just going like,
"Ugh!" Yes, master.
I mean, I don't know. This is just really Heathcliff has just like unlimited powers and stuff. You know,
it does seem to be the case.
Showing what he's capable of doing.
I would also like to call out that the hypnosis laser beams coming out of Heath's eyes do look a little bit like piss because they are colored yellow.
Yeah. Well, then are you looking at it in the wrong direction then? Is that guy's eyes pissing back into Heathcliff?
Now that's
there are no arrows on there. We don't know which direction the lasers are going.
Yeah.
The piss lasers.
I think because of Heathcliff has a very powerful stance here. He's, you know, hands at his side. He feels very, postures good. He looks like he's in the power position, even though he is smaller.
No, I'm intimidated by Heathcliff.
Very phallic tail also.
Yes. Who is this guy? Have we seen this guy before?
I don't know.
You're supposed to know who he is. I don't know who he is.
No, I got no clue.
You're supposed to help
me. Why he would be solo visiting the Nutmeg House.
He's probably, I'm guessing he's Grandpa's friend, and Grandpa was maybe having like a, you know, like a bro session with him, a hangout.
That's why he's in two waters. Yeah, none for the missus. Gotta fend for herself.
Look, Grandma, me and my buddy are going to, are going to sit in our living room chairs and watch TV, and I don't want you to. Does he have a, why do I think he has a Southern accent? He doesn't.
It would be New Jersey.
Yeah. Look, Grandma.
Oh, that's good.
I'm biased. That's your bias.
Yeah. I'm looking up the Heathcliff character page, seeing if I see him anywhere in here. No, I think this is an unnamed man.
Oh, I only got two cups of water here.
Maybe he's not even supposed to be there. Maybe Heathcliff hypnotized him directly.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Maybe Heathcliff hypnotized him into the house and he can't like break the piss lasers.
Oh,
wherever Heathcliff goes, this guy has to follow him.
Yeah, that could be it.
Once you get that hypnotized.
Some random guy he found by the meat store. Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on to March 13th. This is a great one. So Heathcliff is painting a portrait of Grandma Nutmeg. Grandma Nutmeg is sitting away from the portrait, from the canvas, posing. But he's only painted an extreme close-up of her nose and smile and eyes and a little bit of her hair. But it takes up the entirety of the canvas. Heathcliff is wearing glasses. And Iggy and his friend are standing watching Heathcliff paint. And Iggy's saying, I think his glasses are too strong. So his glasses are so strong that he sees such detail.
Yeah, well, it's not even that he's seeing detail. It's that they're magnifying. They're not actually doing what glasses do, which is help things look more defined. The glasses are making her face look huge to him.
Does he ever have glasses?
No,
I think occasionally, yeah.
Because what's with the previous day? The previous day was also about the eyes, right?
That's true. Yeah, maybe the hypnosis
wore out his eyes. Eye humor.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's like a Cyclops situation. He's got to wear the glasses to contain his hypnosis powers. You know,
this one is more of a classic comic strip joke.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
Yeah,
I can't imagine seeing this anywhere else. Well, I was gonna say.
The structure of
it. Yeah. That there is a joke even. Yeah. Maybe we need a corrections corner. Maybe we need Nick's corrections corner.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Maybe.
Because I want to point out if these glasses are doing this number on Grandma's face, then how is he even able to come back to the canvas and paint anything?
That's a really good point.
He's just painting. He's only painting skin color. I mean, that's it. There would be nothing else you could see.
It should be impossible for him to paint
right
with these glasses on.
It's a really good point, Nick.
I think he's a trickster.
Yeah.
That's true. He for sure is a trickster. I'll give you that.
Or maybe we can't see. Maybe he's just got those like, you know, like steampunk kind of glasses where like they got different lenses coming over and he goes over, takes a look and goes, all right, I got it. Ding, 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 ding. And does it back to the other ones when he goes back to painting. I don't know. I'm just trying
Maybe they're bifocals.
Maybe they're bifocals.
Like, yeah.
They could be bifocals.
Should I have a corrections corner, Kyle? You have the punch-up corner.
Yeah, I think go with your gut. If you think a corrections corner, I would. I think that people are crying out for a new segment. And yeah. I think you definitely
want to correct this? You got something?
My correction, it didn't go over too well, but my correction was that there was no way that Heathcliff could paint. Yeah.
Yeah, I think what people definitely want from our show is to be extremely pedantic about what is feasibly possible in the world of the comic strip.
That's what I think, Kyle. I think you're right on the money there.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement.
It's the only way to enjoy the comic.
Yeah.
You got to rip it apart, you got to dissect it.
Listen, this show is an exercise in the myopic. I mean, we're diving in. That's why we started this. We're going to look at the weak Heathcliffs and we're going to dive in.
This strip is the myopic yes! Heathcliff also.
Right.
Exactly right.
This is the show.
This is the show.
It's right here.
Eric, have you ever painted a portrait? Have you ever painted someone's portrait?
I have not.
I once took like an art class in college, and I had to like paint a nude lady.
Whoa.
You had to.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I had to do, I didn't do any nude painting. I guess I must have missed that day.
And it wasn't painting, actually. It was sketching.
Yeah. I would do, we did like in like theater design class, we would have to like do exercises where we'd sit across from someone and sketch each other's faces just as a, and I remember the person who sketched mine, I mean, it was a truly monstrous portrait of me. It looked just close enough to me that you could tell it was me, but it was really bad. And I was really pleased that it was so strange. And I had it hanging in my bathroom for many years. Like, I framed it and put it up in my bathroom. But I don't know where it is anymore. I lost it.
You just lost it?
Yeah.
Something wasn't so there meaningful.
Yeah.
There was also, like, a painting of you, right? Wasn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, I did a play in college where I played, like, the patriarch of this family. And so it required to have a giant portrait of me hanging above a fireplace. And that, again, an entirely grotesque, that one caricature. Didn't really look much anything like me.
I remember drawing stuff like in art class, but I don't remember that I ever specifically had to be like draw a person. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I mean, draw a person, but not draw this specific person who's by you.
Yeah.
Who's sitting in front of you.
Yeah.
Normally they start with fruit, you know? I believe it's called Still Life.
Still Life, yes. Wow. All right, let's move on to today's comic strip, March 14th.
This one's pretty
great.
Oh, my God.
So Heathcliff is standing outside the city dump. It says city dump on the sign right there. And in the gateway, the entrance to the dump is Oscar the Grouch, his face popping out of his trash can. Kind of a sinister smile on his face. And there are two birds on the fence, and one of the birds is saying, "You must solve his riddle to enter." So you must solve Oscar the Grouch's riddle to enter the garbage, the dump.
This is great.
The first thing I noticed is that the trash is the texture is consistent from the fish skeleton.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So
is the color.
Yeah, I'd love to see trash. That consistency in the trash.
Mm-hmm. Looks kind of like wet food.
Yeah,
that's true.
I think we gotta go. I don't know if it was ever this way, but I think we should start calling landfills like dumps again. Like they should literally say "city dump" on the signs.
I thought they still did. Do they not?
I don't think they're called dumps.
Colloquially known, but I don't know.
PC woke culture. We can't call them the woke, dumps anymore.
The woke mind virus.
The woke mind virus has us calling them landfills. All these blue hairs insisting that I call it a landfill. No, it's a dump.
They them fill.
I thought when people talk about the Austin City dump, aren't they talking about your apartment?
Oh, hey, come on now.
Well, that's just what I heard.
Harsh.
If that's not the case, then
wow.
You might want to walk that back.
I'll walk it back if that's not the case. I just thought that's what I haven't heard.
I don't. I'd like to know who's telling you stuff like that. I'd like to give him a piece of my mind.
I don't remember actually.
Well, hey, next time somebody says that, you send them my way.
No, if anybody says that, I'll say, "Are you sure?" And then I'll say, "Well, maybe tell Kyle about that. He wants to know."
Does your apartment have like Oscar the Grouch, like as the gatekeeper to your apartment?
God, I wish I had any sort of pop culture icon gatekeeper.
Yeah, that'd be cool to have a pop culture icon living in my house.
Did you grow up watching Sesame Street, Eric?
Yeah. I mean, I actually feel kind of bad because there's a 4-year difference between me and my brother, and I got to the point where I thought I was stupid, and I like humiliated him out of watching it. And then he like pivoted to the History Channel, and he got like he was like a child prodigy of the History Channel. But like, I think maybe it's good for like children's brains to do the Sesame Street thing first. I don't know.
Yeah, that's funny you say that. I'm 6 years older than my brother, and I feel like not Sesame Street specifically, but definitely there were things that I was like, this is stupid. This is for babies.
Yeah.
And him being like, oh, I guess it is for babies. It's like, you're a baby.
Yeah.
Enjoy
it's
it.
Hard.
Yeah.
He like never learned to count, but he knows all about World War II.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, it's all about the flying aces of World War
One. Count to two.
Yeah. One. That's two World Wars.
One Great War.
So I do feel bad about that. You know, sorry to my brother.
What do you think, and I'm just asking for trouble here, what do you think the riddle is?
Oh.
I don't, why would you ask Oscar, I don't remember Sesame
Street.
Yeah,
why is Street, Oscar?
Yeah, but why is he in charge?
No, that wasn't really his thing in the show.
Why is he the riddle master?
Like protecting trash. In fact,
that's what he did on Sesame Street, was the defender of trash.
In fact, I would say he would do anything to avoid talking to someone. So
that's true.
Having him a job, you know, seems like he shouldn't want to do that. And he seems excited to do it here.
Yeah, he came out willingly, you know.
Yeah, he could popped have kept up that like, closed. Oh boy, I'm gonna ask him the riddle.
Well, so yeah, with the riddle, I mean, my first gut instinct is that the answer is trash, but that wouldn't make sense, right?
So you work backwards from...
A little, but that'd be a little too obvious, right?
Yeah,
yeah, it probably would be a little too obvious.
I mean, is the theme just that like anybody who was like the troll on the bridge or whatever, did it have a riddle?
Like, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like, yeah.
So traditionally, anything that is the gatekeeper or whatever, it has a riddle. Is that just how that works? I mean, I actually haven't thought about this in a long time.
Well, yeah, there's the Sphinx and the troll.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think that's it.
And they have riddles.
I found, I think, a website that is 97 riddles about garbage.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, give us some.
Okay, I'm just going to scroll to randomly one. Smelly and grimy from who knows what, my slimy surface will make you distraught. What am I?
Garbage.
Is it just garbage?
It's a spilled garbage can.
What? Oh.
These are possibly AI-generated.
That's it?
In the dump ball. I live, piles all around, broken bottles and trash abound. Where am I?
In the dump?
A landfill. They said it in the Okay, no, guys, I'm sorry. I was not looking at the right section. I found the section called Hard Garbage Riddles.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Okay. A pest to you, but you feed me. I'm clever and nimble and totally free. When it's dark, your trash I plunder. Tell me true, what do I wonder?
What do you wonder?
Wonder about trash.
It's really not worded to generate, to elicit that kind of answer. The answer is
a raccoon
raining garbage.
What?
What do I wonder?
These are 1,000% written by AI. Also, it's very funny, like, the categories, there's an easy riddles, and there's a hard riddles, and then there's, like, riddles about landfills, waste management riddles. Like, what?
Now, I don't know if I'm going to take some heat here, but I like the kind of, the computer trying to interpret what a human would do. Like, I'm not explicitly pro AI, but I'm not anti AI either. Like, I like a lot of the garbage art that has been generated, like the shitpost type stuff, because like I'm getting things that I can't even think of personally. And then I've had a lot of ideas that have like come out of like it, you know, ChatGPT shitting out some kind of prompt where it completely misunderstands anything that I would ever want to say. And it's just like, I couldn't have thought of that myself. So I do have some appreciation for like the really bad written, like the, like, I think I know how to write a joke. I'm ready to do it.
Yeah.
But it's clear that there's a, you know, some element there that's just not, the special sauce is not there.
It's, yeah, it's, it, it's, something's not adding up. Yeah, this sucks.
I found more AI generated. We don't need to read that.
That's what the show is.
Here's one. A surly green puppet calls this filthy place home.
A landfill. Garbage can?
A garbage can is correct.
What if the answer was Sesame Street? Could have been Sesame Street.
That's, well, actually, let's see what the, I assumed garbage can, but let me see. It's a trash can.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Here's, okay.
Oh, good. Oh, good. You found a good one?
No. I am filled with waste, but I'm not a landfill or a place to haste. Instead, I sit by your side, holding your trash until it's time to abide. What am I?
Another garbage can. Is it a garbage can again?
Yeah, still a garbage can.
10,000 ways to get to a garbage can as the answer.
Yeah, they did what we talked about, which is starting at the end point of trash or garbage can. I also love the, I love the image of like Heathcliff walking up and it's like, you must solve my riddle. It's garbage. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
He looks like he's thinking though. I mean, I guess I don't know, what does the posture mean with the hands behind the back? Like this locked is behind the back?
This is one of our favorite Heathcliff poses. We call it the Mussolini stance. Okay. And yeah, it's usually it's when he's pensive. It's when he's very, being thoughtful. Or overseeing something, much
so
like.
So you think he's not good at solving riddles? You don't think he's got a quick...
Oh, I think he's clever.
No, I think he's good.
Yeah, I think he definitely is. He's got it covered. I'm not... You don't need to, like, help him. He's got it.
I think he's waiting for Oscar to deliver the riddle.
You think tomorrow we're definitely going to see him enjoying the dump?
Oh, I hope so.
Okay, sure, let's move on.
I'm sure it'll come back immediately, you know.
This oh, yeah. It's a very serialized comic strip, Heathcliff. All right, let's move on to March Meatness. All right, so last week on March Meatness, we had the opening round matchups. And boy, what an opening round it was. We had Jimmy advance in the one seed over the Ken Bone Twins. Can you guys, is the music too loud?
No.
it's a tiny bit too loud.
I tried to
you don't need to do that. I don't even make yourself conscious about it. Yeah.
Okay, let's try a little bit. Let's see if we can. Okay.
There we go. Nice bed level.
Let's see. How do I do this? How do I say who's... We had 64 predictions in our bracket.
Oh, wow.
I'm like an expert on this, but I'm unwilling to help. So, sorry.
Oh, really? Do you put together March Madness brackets?
No, I'm not. Just a joke.
So we have Jimmy advancing over the Ken Bone Twins.
That's right. There it is. And, ooh, and should we save that one for last?
Oh, yes. The second matchup was the one we put to the Twitter poll, the Summer Mummy versus the Werepog.
Explain how you win to me.
We decided who won.
We just kind of decided.
last week. This is a recap.
What a play.
Oh, and what a game. In a stunning upset, Pops Heathcliff beat the Meat Robot. Who saw that coming?
Wow.
Unbelievable.
And then in the fourth matchup, the Meat Cowboy defeated the fire breathing Chihuahua.
That's right. Let's go.
Score of one. One.
These are soccer scores.
Of course, it's no surprise the Garbage Ape defeated the Fairy Godmother.
Never in doubt.
-2.
The Garbage Ape, number two seed, but some would say you should have been the number one seed.
Wow, it's very controversial, Nick.
We had Chauncey losing out to the Blob.
Of course. Chauncey, ranked a little higher than people might maybe expected. The blog.
I agree,
Eric, these are tournaments of Heathcliff secondary character. A tournament of Heathcliff secondary characters. I didn't say that.
I mean, I figured out some of them. I mean, once I assumed, but the Ken Bone twins. What, that wasn't that the? That's the guy at the, what, at the debate.
Trump. There are two. There are these twins in Heathcliff world that look like that guy, and they've recurred.
He had a good Reddit history.
That's right. He was in the, very like a sexual history.
Very sexual. Yeah, I would describe it as sexual sexual posting.
That was the Ted Cruz aide, or the who are, when Ted Cruz said it was from the account called Sexual Posts. The Ted Cruz account, like the porn on there.
Oh right, yeah.
Sorry, go on.
No,
the man-eating giant defeats Crazy Shirley, and of course the hype slug wins out over Spike. So no dogs advanced. Kyle.
Seemingly, this round, a win for the less traditional characters, although I will say Pops Heathcliff representing for the old school Heathcliff.
Stunning upset.
Old school Heathcliff fans in the mix here. And now we get to the marquee matchup, the primetime event of the first round, Summer Mummy versus Werepug. Who you got?
I'm on the edge
of my
seat.
Well, it's not about who I got. It's about who you got, the listener, because this was voted on by you, the listener, on our Twitter account at Heathcliff Recap, and I think we'll make one of these upcoming round two matchups also a Twitter poll. But coming in first place with 73.9% of the vote, it's the Summer Mummy.
That's right. Let's the Summer Mummy. Go!
Congratulations!
Yeah, big win for the Summer Mummy. Defeating an animal is a hard thing to do in a popularity contest, you know? And Summer Mummy...
Especially a pug?
Especially
none of
a pug.
These dogs,
one of the cutest
of these
animals.
Dogs did well.
Yeah, that's right. A really good point.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
I said that earlier, but I forgot about the werepug. The werepug also lost out, so
appropriate for a cat-based comic strip that the dogs would lose in the first round.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of typical. It's kind of predictable.
Sounds like you have some quibbles with this.
Yeah, Eric, are you a dog guy? I said you have a cat. Do you have a dog?
I have both.
Too?
I have both.
Do you have a preference?
Yeah, which your children do you love more?
I grew up with dogs, and then my first pet that was actually mine was a cat. And I don't know. You know, I mean, they're both pretty stupid that I have. They haven't figured out how to get along yet. They still don't, you know, they don't obviously speak the same language, but they try to play in just the wrong way. And I don't know, you know, the cat doesn't like assert himself. So the dog just like torments him and it upsets me. But then the cat isn't actually that bothered by it. So it's like something that I have to work on my response to because he's not actually that stressed out by it. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like them both. They just have different purposes.
You're projecting your human, you know, feelings and emotions on what this relationship is.
That's right.
And the cat's just like, I'm fine being, you know, the beta here.
It's being, you know, rolled over.
I don't mind at all.
I mean, every time there's like a click noise or like a door opening, she tries to chase the cat away. And the same thing, like when I feed the cat, she tries to chase him away. Like she runs in the room to try to get the cat's food. Mm-hmm. But that sound never means that she's getting fed. So I don't, she thinks he's a dog. You know what I mean? Like she just hasn't figured it out. And she thinks he's like a big, if I gave him her bowl of food, he'd be eating it for, it'd take him months to finish one thing that she finishes in, you know, literally 30 seconds. Like we have to put her food into like it's called a snuffle mat. That has like, it's like a piece of carpet basically, so that she has to snuffle for it.
I'm the same.
I don't know
way.
If that's actually a verb, but
you're the same way.
Yeah, I also have. I do that too. One of those for myself.
When you put wet ham in it,
I put my wet ham in there and just dole it out.
Start snuffling it.
Yeah,
you piece it up.
All right. Well, let's take a look at these matchups. first matchup in round two, Jimmy versus the Summer Mummy. Are you familiar with Jimmy, Eric?
Can you show me him? Can you make that happen? Yeah. Oh, it's the frog.
Can. Yeah.
No, I don't know that I've seen Jimmy. I'm sorry about this.
That's okay. See, Jimmy's sort of a runaway character, though. That people love Jimmy.
So yeah. He's the number except one seed.
He's pretty good. He seems pretty good. He's even
nobody
got a billboard.
Seems to like. No, yeah, but the town of Westminster doesn't seem to like Jimmy.
They don't like him.
In fiction.
Like, you see the birds here are saying, sorry, I'm not feeling Jimmy.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the attitude is around town, is they're not feeling Jimmy.
That's cold.
But Heathcliff loves them. Heathcliff made this billboard. Heathcliff is sort of his manager.
You're assuming Heathcliff made it.
That's true. We can't tell from
the comic.
It could
have been created by like a god or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's true. Could be eternal. We don't know.
Yeah.
So it's Jimmy versus the Summer Mummy. And this is the Summer. You can't go on the Summer Mummy.
Come on.
That's, I don't even want to pick.
That's the Summer Mummy.
Yeah.
I don't even want to pick.
And this is in the vein of the type of caption I was talking about earlier, right? It's just saying that's what it is.
Right.
Well, we have to pick, right?
We do have to pick.
Should we put this one up to,
I think,
should we make this one a Twitter?
I think,
Paul.
You got something, Eric?
Oh, well, I'm just realizing that if I have to make a choice, I can do that. You know what I mean? I don't want to, but I'm willing to do it.
Nick, what do you think about the idea? Because we've only got four matchups. Should we just make these polls? Should we just make
all them polls?
At this point, first round is we decide, and then now we just do four polls?
Well, we have a week to get... Can we get a... I guess we could do four polls.
Yeah, you could post them at the same time.
All right, well, we can do polls. Garbage Ape would win over the Blob, right? Or do we want to put that one up to a poll, too?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Is like now we're at a point where like it starts to get interesting, right? And I kind of want to see what the people vote for.
Okay.
I think we have an idea, polls. But I think, let's just see.
So let's just go over the matchups then. We also have the number 13 seed, Pops Heathcliff, underdog story. You know, maybe the people will get behind him.
Undercat story.
Pops Heathcliff's jailbird dad versus the meat cowboy, who children also love the meat cowboy. I don't know if you're aware of.
And I do think we should give our picks in these in sort of a ESPN style.
Oh yeah, I've seen the meat cowboy. I know the meat cowboy. Yeah.
You know,
and children love him just like they love the meat tank.
Yeah.
Hot take analysis, you know. I
so, yeah, what are you thinking?
I mean, personally, I'm going with the meat cowboy here. Pops Heathcliff, as I said, a classic Heathcliff character, beloved from the old days. But, I mean, you can't deny the raw charisma, pun intended, of the meat cowboy. He looks great. I think he's a little too highly seated given how little he's appeared in the comic strips. I think we've only had a couple of appearances in the Meat Cowboy, but I think personally I'm voting for Meat Cowboy because I want to make sure we have a future filled with further Meat Cowboy comics.
No, I agree. The Meat Cowboy is just funnier than Pops Heathcliff, unfortunately.
I think so.
Yeah.
The meat related thing. Pops Heathcliff,
okay.
No, his image is on a wanted poster.
Oh no!
And he's walking with Heathcliff, and he's cursing.
Oh yeah, we don't want to celebrate guys like that.
No.
Yeah, exactly. We hate criminals on this podcast.
Yes.
Okay, so we agree then the meat cowboy, but we'll leave it goes up.
It's up
to
you, the
we'll
listeners. We're giving our opinion, but you could tell us to take a hike if you want to.
Tell me about the Blob. I mean, you said you know it won't win.
Yeah, so this is the next matchup. It's the Garbage Ape, the number 2 seed, versus the Blob, the number 10 seed. The Blob is a relatively new addition to the Heathcliff comic strip. They say that children love the meat tank, children love the meat cowboy. The Blob doesn't get much love.
And he hangs out with Jimmy.
He's hanging out.
Yeah,
he's
walking down the street with Jimmy.
Shit,
walking
down the side
with Jimmy, and
two lovelorn, two widely reviled people in the place in Westminster.
Oh my god!
Yeah, so the Blob, he's only appeared three times, I believe, in Heathcliff, but it's a funny image.
I don't want him to have to face off against Jimmy. That would be sad.
Yeah, it would be tough. Luckily, they're on opposite sides of the bracket. But
maybe they'll meet in the championship.
They could meet in the final. We don't know.
I wouldn't want to see that.
But the Blob is going to have a real tough time against the Garbage Ape. I mean, the Garbage Ape is Jimmy before Jimmy, right? I mean, he's that's why he's the number two seed. He's very popular. Very
stuff
popular.
That dreams are made of.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
You got it.
Kyle, I don't know if you heard it, but that's one of his songs, The Garbage Ape.
That one I actually used like three strips as a reference for that one. That one has like
a rich has,
like,
text.
More lyrics than one frame. One strip.
Can we play that one at the end of the episode?
Yeah.
Great, we'll do that.
I would love
and,
that.
And yeah, this final matchup, the Manning Giant versus the Hype Slug.
Now this one's I think if I were programming this on television, I'd put this one at the 7 o'clock slot because I think this is going to be a real slobber knocker. The Man Eating Giant, great character, but so is the Hype Slug, you know. And could you get two more diametrically opposed size wise?
That's true. The Slug is tiny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Victor Wembanyama versus Muggsy Bogues. You know, it's a little guy versus big guy.
I know one of those two.
So, yeah, here we have the Manning Giant.
What happened to the fence? Barbecue. Did he do that to the fence? Or are they?
No, I think they're doing it to the fence.
The people at the barbecue are breaking down the fence. They're so scared of the Manning Giant.
That's how terrified.
That's like a classic.
Brought this Manning Giant to a barbecue.
That's a classic giant behavior to just like walk through things that are supposed to be obstacles.
But he didn't do it.
Yeah. He's just trying to enjoy the barbecue.
He's good. He's innately good. He didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at that grin. How can you not? That haircut, that little bowl cut.
And then here's the slug that the slug says, let's go. And it really energizes all the cats in the alley.
What a very, very normal sentence you just said.
Very dense.
I forgot to mention the cats are wearing slug helmets.
The helmet, the use of helmets to just put the word, the central word of this strip, just put it on the helmet as well. Why not?
That's right. You know? Yeah, why not? There's no rule that says you can't do that.
Right.
So yeah, that's. I mean, I feel like Jimmy versus the Summer Mummy, that's a tough matchup too. But Manny Giant versus Hype Slug, that's also.
I think Man-Eating Giant Hype Slug is going to end up being the closest of the votes. I think Jimmy Summer Mummy is going to be the hardest for people to decide. I suspect ultimately Jimmy's going to win, but I mean, coming from my POV, I might have to vote Summer Mummy. I mean, I don't know.
That Summer Mummy is pretty cool.
Summer Mummy is so good.
My feeling is that the Summer Mummy arguably has a richer lifestyle. And he doesn't need a big win because he can just keep surfing and
people
stuff.
Love him already.
And yeah. Jimmy has like this harder battle to fight, and it seems like the win would probably mean a lot more to him. That's just sort of my feeling, but
that's great. That's really really strong analysis.
Good analysis, yeah. I will say the Jimmy doesn't seem to really care much about anything. Like he seems sort of nihilistic. Yeah.
True. So you think he's going to come into this matchup a little? He's not focused. He's not bringing his A game. He may not even have an A game to bring, you know.
They might not need it.
But he might not need it. He might just be riding a wave.
The birds don't even like him, so why does he even, you know, he's not, what does he have to look forward to, you know what I mean? Like you said, true. He's nihilistic, but I think he's just, it's been beaten out of him by this.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe he does desire to be famous and to win and be a beloved character. But yeah, he's been at it so long with no results. He's resigned to his fate.
It's got to be such a bummer, you know?
Got to be a bummer. I wouldn't know anything about that.
Well, there you go, folks. The future of March Madness is in your hands. Check out Heathcliff Recap on Twitter or X and vote for your favorites. And we'll see what happens.
Don't let me find out that you didn't vote, okay? All right? Elections are choices. Elections are choices, and you've got two choices in front of you, okay? And you need to pick one. Don't get
You got eight choices this week.
You got eight choices. You got two choices four times.
Yes. Well, I guess we'll do one today, Thursday, and then Maybe one Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
We can post them all at the same time.
At the same time?
I mean, I don't.
No, we got to.
Why?
That's
why
not
you?
How you do a feed. That's not how you run a feed. You know. You can't dump it all out at once.
I just don't want there to be any shenanigans of people being like, well. You know, the Jimmy Summer Mummy matchup, I didn't have as much time to vote, you know. I
think it's a lot to ask for somebody to vote four times in one day.
They don't have to vote four times in one day. How long do Twitter polls stay open?
There were a lot of...
Well, as long as you want.
Yeah, exactly. Just leave them open for... Post them at the same time.
Oh, for...
Leave them open for a week.
We could do that, I guess.
And let people...
But then the last one you post is less likely to get the attention, because it's you're going to be dumping them all into the feed, and people are going to be like, oh, I've already seen that. I saw these.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the right way to do this. Do it however you want.
We'll figure it out.
I don't care.
We'll figure it out.
I don't care.
I'm not good at social media either, so...
You have way more followers than we do, Eric. So,
well, you're doing something stopped. Right. It cut off abruptly. I got my YouTube the silver play button.
Oh,
I didn't,
nice!
Congrats. I didn't open it. I didn't open it because I was just like pissed off because I like lost all control. It was like everything I made that I cared about, nobody saw it. But the one video that YouTube was like, the algorithm. This is good for the algorithm. Like that was the only thing that fueled the whole growth.
Wow.
So I'm cynical, you know.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, tell us where we can find you. I know it's Hot Dad on YouTube.
Yeah.
Is it also Hot Dad on Twitter?
It's Hot. Well, it's Hotter Dad on Twitter. I do streams on Twitch every Monday and Wednesday or Monday and Thursday evenings. Which is also Hotter Dad. I mean, it's actually Hotter Dad on most platforms other than YouTube, because YouTube was like the only one where I managed to get Hot Dad. yeah, I don't know. Every platform you could all the streaming music platforms, I'm on there. I don't know. I have
cool.
I have things in many places. You know,
go stream.
Awesome.
Blue Sky. I actually got Hot Dad on there, but I didn't know if I wanted to change the brand. So I have both Hot Dad and Hotter Dad, and I don't know which one to use.
You don't have to decide yet. Nobody's there. So you can just sort of, you know, go with whatever your gut tells you.
Has anybody tried to take Hottest Dad? Hottest Dad?
I mean, that's the joke that, you know, people show up and they say, haha, where's Hottest Dad?
Is there
a Hottest Dad? Yeah. I don't know, you just roll with what you got. You know?
Are you a dad?
No. Just the dog and the cat.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us, Eric. And until next time, That Bothers Me.